Hello, and thank you for joining us for episode 3 of our new Peace of Heaven Project podcast, Peace Talk. If you haven't yet listened to episode 1 or 2, we were in conversation with cattle rancher turned vegan volunteer Colleen Sissons, as well as Peace of Heaven Project founders Mark and Sharon Starmer. Both episodes are well worth a listen, so do catch up when you get a chance. Now, I can't wait to jump into today's podcast with Marie Sola. She's a Hippocrates trained natural health educator and a great friend of mine. Marie, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Gemma, for having me today.
Thank you for being here. So tell us about yourself.
I've been really interested in health, natural health, for the last 30 years. My journey started when I was 21, and I had chronic fatigue, a lot of allergies. Basically, I would go to bed at 8 p.m. at night, and all my university class were at 1 p.m. because I couldn't get up for the life of me. And I would wake up around 11. So something was off. Went to the doctors. Blood tests, were somewhat normal. And so I started looking into raw foods, and that brought me, at the age of 21, to Hippocrates Health Institute in Florida. So I'm not sure if you're familiar a little bit with Hippocrates.
I have heard of it,
Well, it's a great center in Florida, and they offer 3 weeks programs, and it's all about raw food, veganism, and so on, wheatgrass. So I did the 3 weeks, and after 10 days, I felt like when I got in, I felt like I was 70. When I left, I felt like I was 9. I had so much energy. So that really started my journey. And from there, I worked in California at OHI, Optimum Health Institute, which is another raw vegan retreat, a little bit outside of San Diego. Then I went back to Hippocrates to do the health educator program. And I ended up staying as the spa manager. And over the years, I've lived in Bali, which is very known for the raw food in Bali. And I worked on a couple retreats there. I also spent some time in India at a fasting and raw food retreat, where I worked there also for a few months doing an internship. So that's a little bit my journey in a nutshell.
Okay, and so during this time, what has been the biggest mind-blowing discovery that you've encountered?
Well, I would say is how fast the body can heal. If we go back to my example, of course, I was 21. I didn't have any major health issues, but it had been a couple of years that I was battling serious fatigue and allergies and other things, and it was really impacting my day-to-day life, as I was mentioning, and how quickly the body went back in balance. Even, I've seen over the years people with cancer and other disease. Of course, it's not going to happen like me in 10 days, but the progress, you're going to start noticing progress. The main thing is what I've discovered is that the body naturally wants to heal, but we're always, if we follow the American diet, with a lot of meat and dairy, processed food, we're putting toxins within the body. So the body is not able to heal because it's processing all these toxins. But if you remove all these toxins and you go to a very pure diet, for example, the vegan diet, when you're eating vegan already, you're not eating all the hormones that are in dairy products and animals and so on, all the fear. Because of course, in the farming industry, the way the animals are brought up and everything, the way they're killed, we ingest all that fear, all those hormones, and it's really lowering our vibration and so on, and impacting our health. So as well as processed foods, as we know, there's so much sugar and so many things, that we shouldn't be eating, coloring agents and so on. So all these things are very are impacting our health negatively. So our body is not able to actually heal because it's busy again dealing with all of that. But if you remove all that and you have a very clean diet, a vegan diet, and optimally a raw diet, and we could talk a little bit more why raw in a moment, really you're the body is then free to heal whatever it needs to heal. So that was the greatest discovery I would say that the body always wants to heal, and given the proper condition, it will.
Yeah, and at what stage did you become vegan? Were you vegan before this, or at some point in this transformation when you were dealing with your health issues that you had in your early 20s, did you change to be vegan at that point, or when did that happen?
Yeah, when I went to Hippocrates, definitely I was vegan. And then I went back. I never went back to eating meat, but I was vegetarian. So I was eating a little bit of dairy products for a few years until I watched a video on the dairy industry. And I understood that it's not natural. Like the cow has to be pregnant to produce milk. And basically, we're stealing the milk from the cow, from the baby cow. That was enough for me. So I switched. I completely became 100% vegan from that point on. Yep.
Okay. So, for any vegan curious listeners out there who may still be of the mindset that you need meat to survive, or that they're not going to get enough protein, or that vegan foods are bland rabbit food, what key dietary recommendations or simple switches could you give them so that they get to enjoy a varied diet full of flavor and texture, and that they're not going to die of protein deficiency?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, protein deficiency, we don't hear much of that. We hear the opposite. People consuming too much meat, having heart problems and so on, cholesterol. So that is the real issue. And in terms of the concerns of not having enough protein, it's actually the opposite because protein is present in so many things like kale, spinach, seaweed, legumes, nuts and seeds. So there's an abundance of protein. And the fact of it is that it's way easier for us to absorb. Because if we look at our teeth, our digestive system, it's not one of carnivores. So we're not made to eat meat to start with. Compare if we look at other animals like lions, dogs, like their digestive system is much shorter, so there's no fermentation of the meat, within the body. Their teeth also are made to for meat eating. We're not. If we combine that with all the hormones and antibiotics and everything, you're not going to be able to assimilate the protein in the meat. You're gonna have a lot of toxicity within your body. And then, so the vegan protein that I just mentioned, nuts and seeds and so on, it's a very pure and easy to assimilate type of protein.
What would you say to someone who might argue, well, I only have organic or grass-fed beef? I mean, maybe they're avoiding some of the antibiotics or the hormones that are in the food, but why should they still opt for a vegan diet instead of that?
I would go back to what we were just talking about in terms of our teeth are not made to chew on meat, and also our digestive system. There's going to be a lot of fermentation because our digestive system is much longer. And yes, so it's going to cause fermentation in the body. So from a physical standpoint, it's not recommended. And also, if you go into more like a spiritual karmic standpoint, why would you take, because they are sentient beings. Animals are sentient beings. They have a soul. They have a different arc incarnation. Who says that they're of lower importance than us? The humans have said that to justify the fact that, okay, we're going to kill them and eat them, but they're alive. They have a life to live. They have their own life. They don't belong to us. So it's not to up to us to say, oh, okay, well, I feel like having bacon, so I'm just going to kill this pig, who as us wants to be happy and live a life, free of, constraints and so on. Even if they're free in a field, they don't want to be killed. And no one should, it's no one should kill a pig. It's not up to us. The pig doesn't belong to us. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I think so. It answers it to me. So before you mentioned raw vegan, why raw vegan as a, well, what is raw vegan and why is it better than presumably the alternative, which is cooked vegan?
Yes. Well, I would say try it. I would say definitely try it for yourself. Like, even for a week, you're going to notice the increase of energy you're going to have. We're the only species that actually cook our foods. All animals eat raw. And the fact is that when we cook food, what happens is that we destroy the digestive enzymes. So a lot of people after a meal, they feel very sleepy. Why? Because, they've destroyed the enzyme and their digestion is really, digestion is actually what takes the most energy out of the body. That's why fasting, is another approach to healing, which we can go more into it in a moment. When you're eating raw, you don't have that heaviness after a meal. The energy is not going, of course, it's still going to digestion, especially if you're eating nuts and seeds, which you can always like soak the nuts and seeds and also sprout them, which all that's going to help, even more with in terms of enzymes. But definitely a raw food diet will help in terms of your digestion. And if your body's not busy, 3 times a day digesting, excuse me, then it can focus on other things. It can focus on healing your body. And even if you're like, well, I'm perfectly healthy, but still, we're bombarded, by so many things, cell phone towers, cell towers, pollution. So the body always needs to cleanse. And if it's busy constantly digesting and processing toxins that we're ingesting, it cannot do, what it should be doing in this modern environment.
Yeah, is there any effects that you've seen from eating a raw vegan diet? Is there any noticeable positive side effects or negative side effects if there are any?
I haven't seen any negatives. Some people will struggle a little bit because, well, nowadays it's not like it was 30 years ago. People understand it. The vegan movement is it's much stronger. You have people eating many different ways. For some people, maybe it's going to be a struggle at first to talk about it, with or especially if their family members are not into raw vegan, that could be a struggle. But other than that, personally, for yourself, you're only going to see some positive. You're going to see increase in energy. Your skin is going to really clear. You're going to look more youthful, happier. It really has an impact on your mood because again, you're not ingesting any toxin and you're having all your enzymes, and your whatever you eat is really transformed in energy. It's not actually impacting negatively your body, but it's actually giving life. Raw food is alive.
Wow. Now I want to eat raw food. It sounds like a very transformational adjustment to your diet. I want to be happy and I want to glow and all the things. So you mentioned fasting. What exactly do you mean by fasting and what are the benefits of doing that?
Yes, well, fasting, I guess it's a step further, right? Because we're talking about digestion that takes a lot of out of the body. So imagine if you're not digesting at all for a few days, then the body is really able to heal. And we've seen some people that had old injuries that got healed or improved. Maybe the first fast, they're going to see a significant improvement. After a few fasts, it's going to be completely healed. And if we look at all the religions, most religions actually, they do talk about fasting. So fasting is something very important and that we forgot over the years, but I think in the last few years, it's definitely coming back and it's more mainstream. We are hearing more and more also about intermittent fasting. Of course, the ideal is long fast. You can do long fast and also intermittent fasting. When I'm talking about long fast, I mean, it depends. You know, some people will do 3 days a week, 2 weeks, or even a month. Personally, I've done a month, a juice fast. Basically, you can drink, that's what I was doing, green juices. So you can, in your juicer, juice some kale, sunflower sprouts, any type of sprouts, cucumber, celery, for example. And that's a very powerful green drinks. So you could do it that way. Have a couple of green drinks and some spirulina also. And then that way you can actually do it for a long time. For that month that I did that juice fast, I actually had a lot of energy. Some people, like at Hippocrates, they typically fast 1 day a week on Wednesdays. So at the end of the year, you've actually fasted quite a few days. But of course, it's great if you're fasting 3 days or more, because you really start to cleanse. Also intermittent fasting, which is another great thing. It's you're going to eat, for example, if you're doing an 18-6, that means 18 hours a day you're going to be fasting, and 6 hours a day you're going to be eating. Your body is basically just going to go on autophagy. So it's going to be able to, again, cleanse and do what it needs to do within those 18 hours. And ideally, you wouldn't be drinking either during those 18 hours. So no water or nothing. So the body is actually completely free and able to really restore the body. So one could do intermittent fasting like long term, like forever, because you still have that 6 hour window. Once in a while you could do longer fasts.
Wow. Yeah, it all makes sense. We are in autumn or fall now, and winter is on the way. Lots of people are suffering from seasonal colds and flus. What natural remedies can you recommend for a swift recovery or even preventing them in the first place?
Right. Preventing them, definitely, like a raw vegan diet, you're going to really build your immunity. So that's the main thing, the immune system. It should be strong, so we fight off all these little things like colds, flus, and so on. But if you do have a cold or a flu, echinacea, which is from a lot of people nowadays know about echinacea, it's from an actual flower, and you can take echinacea. The best is in a liquid form, because you'll assimilate it much faster in water. A lot of time I've seen people recover from a cold or flu very quickly within a couple of days, whereas before it would take 2 weeks or something like that. Just make sure when you take the echinacea, also switch it in your mouth. You want the digestive enzymes, the saliva, to get mixed up with the echinacea. Another great thing that I think is very good is to blend maybe 2-3 cloves of garlic in water with a little bit of turmeric, because garlic and turmeric are antimicrobial, fungal, and so on, viral. So garlic is one of the oldest remedy. And you can drink that, let's say 3 cloves of garlic and a little bit of turmeric, fresh turmeric root. And you could drink in maybe like 10 ounces of water, and you drink half of it in the morning, the other half at night. Another thing also is essential oils like oregano oil. But definitely if you're going to take it internally, you're going to want to put it in a capsule, a couple of drops in a vegan capsule with maybe 4 or 5 drops of coconut oil. So all these will actually boost your immune system as well. So we'll help you fight whatever cold or flu you have, and very quickly.
Excellent. And is it possible to overdose on garlic, or would it have an effect on maybe making the body acidic, or would it aid it in being alkaline, or what's your suggestion?
Well, the great thing about garlic and other things I would like to talk about afterwards, like seaweed and spirulina, those things, it's natural, like it's a food. And if you're going to be overdosing, you're going to feel nauseous. So you're going to have to really blend way more than 3 cloves of garlic. So your body's going to be telling you right away. So garlic's going to kill whatever pathogen. And yes, so you'll be back on your feet very quickly.
Okay. And I know it's commonly recommended by the doctor in Western medicine to drink lots of water when you're ill. Would you advise that, or would drinking water maybe, would it cause your body to do more of the process of digestion, like we spoke about a few minutes ago, or would you recommend it if you were getting sick?
Yes, great question. Drink a lot of water. When you're sick, you want to flush it out, lemon water. So you could probably squeeze like 2 lemons in a big jug of water, maybe a 64 ounce or a 32 ounce even. I typically drink every day like the juice of 2 lemons and 32 ounce. I do that every day because lemon is very alkalizing. Disease live in a very acidic environment. So going back to meat, actually, meat is very acidic. Dairy products are very acidic. Raw foods, if you know, mainly you're going to be eating a lot of fruits and vegetables, which are very alkaline. So again, disease thrive in an acidic environment. So you really want to be drinking a lot of water when you're sick, with lemon or lime. Also, you can fast. Most animals, when they're sick, they're not going to be stuffing their face. They're going to be fasting. So we can definitely look at animals for a lot of those behaviors. So fasting, anyways, often when you're sick, you don't even feel like eating. But often we're like, oh, no, I got to eat. Otherwise, I'm going to be weaker. But then you're starting again the whole digestive system. So fasting is a really good idea. But then you want to be nourished on a cellular level. So you can be juicing, you can be taking some spirulina. So like spirulina, chlorella, blue green algae are, again, the only supplements, if you want, that I recommend are whole foods. So they're not like vitamin D or B or whatever, but the whole food. So spirulina, chlorella, blue green algae, for example, they are actual algae. And you're really going to want to purchase the ones that are dehydrated at a very low temperature. So they preserve their enzymes, vitamins, minerals. And again, it's the whole food, you know. And for years, Japanese were the ones who had the longest life expectancy. And when they really looked at why, one of the reasons was the seaweed, because they consume seaweed every day in nori, wakame, hijiki, you know, in their soups, in their sushis, and so on. So seaweed is very good. So again, when you're sick, well, personally, I think you should consume spirulina, chlorella, or blue green algae daily, because our soils are depleted. So even if you eat a lot of kale, a lot of those great vegetables, the soils being depleted, it's really good to have a supplement within those seaweeds. And especially when you're sick, you really want, again, to boost the immune system and give yourself some energy, because you're drained, you're tired, and seaweed provides a lot of energy.
Okay. So if people who are listening were wanting to learn more about, you know, how to better educate themselves on optimal vegan nutrition and you know, enjoy radiant skin and abundant energy and just thrive in general, what resources are readily available, or where can they go to find out more and learn more about this?
Well, there's a couple of things that come to mind. Definitely nowadays, it's great. YouTube, there's so many resources, and especially someone who wants to go on a raw food diet or vegan diet, and they think, oh my God, I'm just going to be eating salads. I think one of the main things, and a lot of people switch back to eating meat because they're like, oh my God, it wasn't working for me, and I was tired all the time, and so on. It's the main reason is because they don't know what to eat. So the first thing is to educate yourself. So first, I would recommend to watch a few PETA videos to really understand what's going on in the farming industry, because typically, you know, we don't bring kids, you know, and we're not allowed to film. There's a reason why. There's a lot of horror happening there. And so we have to look at things, you know, in the face and know what's happening, and then make a conscious choice. Okay, I want to be vegan. And now I want to stay vegan. Well, you're going to have to look into what kind of recipes and what can you eat. So, you know, you don't want to go back to eating meat. And so it's supporting you, and it's supporting your lifestyle, and you're not tired all the time, and so on. So yeah, nowadays there's so many great resources on YouTube in terms of vegan and raw vegan. And in terms of like, people who want to go towards raw veganism, purchasing, for example, like a great juicer, a food processor, and a dehydrator. Dehydrator is going to bring your journey to a whole other level, because you're going to be able to make bread and crackers and pizzas and lasagnas in your dehydrator. So you want to dehydrate at 108 or lower, so you can keep your enzymes. And then you can also make some vegan cream cheese with cashews, and even add sun-dried tomatoes and all sorts of different cream cheese and other types of cheeses that you can make, which are delicious and so easy to make. And also incorporate, I was talking about the spirulina, chlorella, and bluebean algae. You know, those are supplements. But also within, on your food, you can sprinkle a little bit of dulse, which is a wonderful seaweed, or some nori. You don't have to necessarily make sushi. You can just put some pate, some veggie pate and vegetable, and kind of roll it up like a wrap, and other seaweeds, which are wonderful to add to your salads and so on. Just make sure that they are organic. Yes, and seaweed is wonderful also for iodine. A lot of people don't have enough iodine. You know, they're going to experience like being tired and so on. So it's hard to find iodine outside of seaweed. So seaweed is a wonderful, wonderful vegetable. Actually, was the first, they're sea vegetables, and they came before the land vegetables. And they're very, very important to incorporate in your diet. And you're really going to notice a big improvement in your health. And one last thing, Gemma, before I conclude on that is, yeah, the spirulina, let's say you go with spirulina, it's very easy to find. You know, one should consume that once or twice a day. And the reason why, it's because often when people overeat or have cravings, it's because sugar cravings, they don't have enough protein. And spirulina is packed with protein, and it's very easy to assimilate. So if you want to go on a raw food diet, if you incorporate spirulina, you're going to be very nourished on a cellular level. Your protein, everything's going to be high. So it's going to be very easy. You're not going to have those cravings. So you're just going to be like sailing along, you know, eating well, not struggling. That is the key. And everything that I'm saying, I've experienced on myself over the last 30 years. And the first 10 years, I wasn't so consistent with the spirulina. But then, you know, I really realized when you are consistent, it really, you take it daily, like a religiously, and it makes a big difference, and your body's going to thank you for it.
Yeah. We're so lucky to live at this time where we just have, you know, we can just check on our phone and search for anything. And there's so much, you know, information out there and at our fingertips, that there really is no excuse not to, you know, make the changes that we want to. Like, not having the knowledge is not an excuse anymore.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And I would add to the second part, to answer your question, another thing would be if you can invest in yourself and go to a retreat, you know, to go to a vegan retreat or a raw food retreat, depending which of the two you're interested in. Because for myself, I remember when I was 21 and struggling with my health, and actually I took a course at home on raw foods and forget about it. I wasn't able to do it, and I wasn't able to stop eating meat. And then I went away for 21 days at Hippocrates, and that really kind of, sometimes you have to live it. And we do say it takes 21 days, you know, to break a habit or adopt a new habit. So if you can invest in yourself, go away to a retreat, understand, you know, the reasoning behind why we should go vegan or raw vegan, and also, you know, experience like the nice meals, and often there's going to be a cooking component. So really to be there in person and learn is really important. And nowadays there's so many retreats, and also it's not just about food. A lot of those retreats are combined with meditation, because we're not just physical bodies. So when we talk about health, we have to look at the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. And there's some really great retreats out there. And if anybody's interested in properties, you know, I don't get a commission or nothing, but it really transformed my life. So I highly always recommend it. They do offer a 3 weeks life transformation program. And it is that it's life transforming. And if not, there's tons of other retreats. So just look at a retreat that you see could fit, be a good fit for you. And just give you that gift, because, you know, it's going to be beneficial for the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when I started to try raw myself, and, you know, I couldn't cook anything that tasted good. And I would have loved to have gone to a retreat and, you know that there is delicious food out there. It's just me that couldn't make it.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Mary.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it really works. Maria has been giving me advice for years and sending me delicious raw food recipes and food picks. And I must get super annoying at times if ever I want to make any changes to my diet or anything health related. She's the first person I contact for approval. So thank you so much for taking the time to share your invaluable knowledge and expertise. And I hope that anybody listening today who needs to hear your advice takes on board what you said and has faith in natural health and just gives it a chance. If you'd like to learn more about natural health, head on over to pohpsanctuary.com and take a look at our brand new blog post discussing the benefits of eating in season in alignment with Ayurvedic practice. And if you'd like to learn more about the topic, be sure to tune in for our next podcast, where I'll be joined by Dan Glynn to discuss Ayurveda in more depth. If you'd like to ask a question about seasonal eating or Ayurveda in general, as always, you can reach out to us on social media. Thank you for all your support. Thanks for listening. And until next time, peace out.